are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And today we have Shazzy, Shazzle, Dazzle in the building. Looking dazzling as usual. Thank you, thank you. So today we're talking about, well, we're just going to get right to it. You know, why beat around the bush? We're talking about cults today. C-U-L-T, cult. Yes, today.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite topic.
No, guys, I just like watching documentaries about cults. It's not my favorite topic. But to be honest, I always wonder, like, okay, how did you actually believe that what this person was saying actually made sense? Because some of the times it's like really outlandish stuff. It's like guised in Christianity or like a hint of some belief in a God who you think is probably the same God that you worship. But then later on you find out, no, this is not God. So yeah, Chaz has some first-hand experience with that. And she's willing to share with us how she ended up.
Wait, so we're actually saying that Shaz was in a cult?
She didn't tune for herself, but
this is what we're saying. Anyway, let's get straight into it.
Yeah, so just about cults, right? So I think I'm not going to call it a cult as such, but I'm just going to highlight that there was some highly suspicious activity there.
Yeah.
And the reason why I've come up to share about it is because I'm worried about people who may get into some things and not realize how thin the line is.
Right.
I know Jesus talks about how his people are lost because they don't know.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a certain level of knowing that you get when you've done your own work in terms of getting to know God and reading your Bible and furthering your own walk. And that's kind of the area I want to stick to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make any mention of any names.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell my story as it came along. And to address the first thing you mentioned, about just to answer your first question about, does someone not see what's happening? So to some degree, it doesn't happen literally on the first day you're there.
No?
It's something you kind of fall into.
Yeah.
And it's conditioning. And so because it's conditioning, it doesn't start off right off the bat.
Yeah.
The more you give yourself to it, so it's kind of like you kind of get sucked in by the first experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example that I was attending a regular Pentecostal church, and my best friend at the time was pregnant, and her husband had like full out denied responsibility.
Oh, okay.
They mended things and are now properly married.
Seeing as you said her husband.
Yeah, because it's like, wow, just like stranger things have happened. So anyway, at the time they were in a conflict and she was expecting, and you know, I think the typical response in other places would be about like, dude, you're so pregnant outside of wedlock, like, you know. And then she found this place where she was accepted as she was.
Yeah.
And these people were nice and they, you know, really went out of their way to look out for her. And so I actually got sucked in there because I saw what was happening with her. That and a slight level of pressure, like, oh, you're still going, Ugo. I mean, ukukune action. And, you know. So imagine, I left the church I was going to and joined this new church. So the very first day I went there, I was like, wow, it's like I'm meeting the word of God for the first time.
Yeah.
Because don't think these people are going around in circles talking crazy things the first time you go there.
Yeah.
They're talking proper things. And referencing scripture even, you know. And so first it started off with the Sunday service.
Okay.
Then it turned out that they had a Monday service.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't see any harm with it. We were students at uni. So it was literally students at school.
Yeah.
So we had the senior pastor, student pastor, was from a church which originated from here, but had a representation
at uni.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So while we were there, it started off as a Sunday. Then we'd have Monday evening service. And you thought, huh, you know, I really could use the boost after lectures on a Monday.
Yeah.
And then it became women's ministry on Tuesday. And you mm-hmm. thought, well, I am a woman, so... I guess I could benefit. And at this time, I particularly was in a state where I felt like I really needed to compensate God. You know, when you're kind of like, ah, yeah, don't burn me. It's okay. I promise I'll behave.
What have you done? Anyway. Yes.
Anyway, so you come back to this kind of, no, I'm going to do straight and narrow. And when you're still new, your idea of straight and narrow can sometimes border on like... being obsessive, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And to some degree, I think Christians who are now mature have managed this stage of their journey well.
Mm.
And so this is the point where it's worrying for me, Kuti, when people are still on this young stage, when they're still trying to get to understand what it means to give their life to God, and then some other person shows up and they've got this one-time magic pill that new believers can kind of just take and have their things working for them.
Yeah.
So anyway, then Wednesday comes and there was evening service on Wednesday.
Correct.
And then it turned out that Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday, I would be at church. So, so it was like, it was like
services all the time.
Yeah, there was a Monday evening service, and there was the Tuesday women's ministry,
mm-hmm.
and then there was Wednesday evening service.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was the one evening where we didn't go. Friday there was an evening service,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday we'd practice for praise and worship.
Oh, okay.
And
oh
so God. Yeah, so
literally the whole week.
Literally yeah. the whole week, and so, then Sunday you'd sing what you practice for praise and worship on Saturday.
How big was this church?
They had quite a mild following. I'd say maybe about 100 students,
okay.
something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
During this whole process,
mm-hmm.
were you doing this out of love? Like, were you actually excited about being a part of everything that was going on, going to church on a daily basis? Was this like something that you were enthusiastic about? Or was there an element of guilt where you felt like you kind of had to do it because of, you know, whatever else was going on?
So it was like guilt fanned into fear.
Okay.
So first it was, you know, I really need to get my life right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, if you don't get your life right, and you really cannot afford to drop the ball at all.
And this is so, based off some of the teachings or just you and where you were at that
so
time?
So I think it was just general statements that were made to a, I'm going to say fragile for lack of a better word, fragile mind.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine
the church?
Yes.
Okay.
So when you run with it, you're taking it a bit out of context. You know that the scripture that says you need to be careful when you are mature, the things you do around people who are not yet mature,
mm-hmm.
because you'll misguide them.
Yeah.
So I think, again, these people kind of come in, and the reason we can never really pinpoint them is because they're also like, ah, well, but it was, you know, we were just saying. And you're like, but you can't just say to kids,
yeah.
you know, and expect them not to understand,
okay. yeah.
you know. So... that's what happened. So, like, there was a lot of talk about witchcraft, really. Like, this is why I then moved from the Pentecostal church, because I was like, these people don't talk. It was like literally my first experience.
I'm vulnerable.
And I was like, I'm not even about to drop I'm padding up right now.
Mm.
Show me that armor. I'm wearing it.
Mm.
So, like, it snowballed into this crazy avalanche of fear, weirdness. Like, we'd get into cabs. We needed cabs to get from our apartment to uni.
Yeah.
And you'd get into somebody's cab and be like, yeah, music yenyu ya nyatso kwid. We got on that burn all your music kind of, and just be modest and all the extremes of what it means to be a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah. We became.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. Since, you know, we're kind of talking about, I guess, cults in a sense, or maybe mm-hmm. churches that have cultic elements,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Are there any particular characteristics of this church or this movement that you would say were cultic in their nature? when you look back at it now in retrospect?
Well, I'll give an example of the greeting. At some point, we stopped saying hi, because it just, if you said hi to a church person, they'd just look at you like, what happened to our greeting, shalom? Mm. You know, so it's like, even if you greeted like the pastor, yeah, and you said hi, he didn't respond. Wow. You had to say shalom and he would respond to you. Okay. And so it
but
was
were you
like,
ever taught about it, or you just got there and everyone was shalomizing, so you're just like, okay, that's what we do here. Well, like, I mean, did you even know what the word meant?
It meant peace. So I got it. I got it. So at first I was like, but why are these, why is that the thing? Mm. You know, because I'm like, really? But you can just say hi, right?
Mm. Yeah.
But when you're still on the surface, before you get kind of deeper, before you kind of get some sense of ownership of it being what you are part of, you can distance yourself. But once you are immersed, I think it actually comes in one instant where you kind of switch from defense mode to trust mode.
Okay.
And the moment you are on that, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I remember,
like, you're not questioning anything.
Yes.
Anymore.
There was this the hip truth about hip hop. Mm-hmm. I remember I spoke to a prominent pastor. I just said something to her, and she instantly asked me to listen to that. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, I thought she had seen my nose ring and was like, "Oh, girl, you need gists." So I watched this truth about hip hop. And the funny thing is, I'd watched it before this whole thing happened. But thinking about it now, retrospectively, I'm like, it makes sense. This thing of becoming a fan of something, and then you defend it, and you can't see anything wrong, because the moment you stop, you have to question your actions.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be found wrong, because... Yeah. I mean, you are selflessly seeking God. Mm-hmm. So if these are the people who say you can find God with them, then you kind of connect to what they're saying and you go with it. And the reason it's so easy for you to go with is you're running with some perverted sense of desperation. You understand when they say panting after the Lord like a deer. Mm. That's what you have. This is what is manipulated by these people, because you are automatically geared to pant after God. Mm. But the way you are going about it, and it's funny that there are all these little places where people can kind of plug in and then get this weirdness in exchange. And it doesn't work, because you think that you need to be led as a sheep, right?
Yeah.
And then you kind of relinquish yourself to your leaders.
Leave your brain at the door.
So, I mean, somebody actually said, it's like Christians do some of the most ridiculous things. Like, it's like you shut down somewhere. Could you almost cross the line. Like, faith is some kind of magical kind of fantastical. And then this is because we're not able to draw that line from our own journey where we personally know God. We start taking other people's word for it.
Yeah, man.
And then following their leadership.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we did all kinds of things, like, Tenzi, buy sweets and eat them so that your life can be sweeter. And you're like, what? Heck yeah, I want my life to be sweeter. And the man of God said it, I'm going to have those sweets. And you just stupid things like that.
But I can see also how you could then perceive it. Like, it's harmless. Like, so what if I eat a few?
Yeah, it's like, well, you know. And
but
then,
while you're eating the sweets, you're really believing, come and test and see. The Lord is good.
Yeah,
my
you
life
see
is
it now. You see now. So what these guys do is they kind of play on the balance. Mm. God already wants to bless you. Mm. So if you prophesy positive things over your life and you declare the word of God over your life, good things are going to happen to you.
Yeah,
and you're going to start thinking that these guys, including the other dodgy things they do, work. Because in addition to that, they also throw in the positive kind of reinforcement. Mm. So, for example, I had some units I wasn't doing well for, and you know, you're continuously prophesying, you will do well, you know, da 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 da. Mm. And then you gain this confidence in yourself.
Well, Shaz, you were at church every day. So
yeah, so
I think that might have been part of the problem.
Yeah.
You weren't studying.
Yeah.
So I actually want to read something here about some of the, I guess you can call them characteristics of cults, and maybe this will help someone, because, you know, sometimes when we think of cults, we think of all that weird, dark stuff and
dramatic.
People dressed in black robes.
You know what I mean?
Weird rituals, yeah, including blood and stuff.
But then there's just certain things that you can see that, you know, give you clues, right? That can help you to see that. This church or this thing, is starting to look a bit dodgy. So number one is dependence, where you become dependent on that particular group of people or that particular community, right? There's a healthy dependence,
yes,
and then there's an unhealthy dependence,
yeah.
And then there's isolation, where you so these are stages. Then isolation is where you totally isolate yourself from everything else or everyone else, and the isolation
especially
can be in the form of you're not listening to other people from other churches anymore, because you feel like, you know what, we only listen to the word from our man of God.
Yes.
Right.
That can be
a red flag. And then here it's cognitive reconstruction, aka brainwashing. I just wanted to sound fancy, I guess. So yeah, this one is self-explanatory. But this is where you're starting to get indoctrinated, and your thinking processes are getting reconstructed, etc. Then substitution is where the cult or the cult leaders often take the place of mother, father, priest, teacher, and leader. And you know of people who do things for their papas and their pastors that they don't do for their own biological parents.
Yes.
Right? Because you feel this indebtedness.
Yeah.
Which is actually the next thing, the indebtedness, where you feel like you have to, you've got an obligation to the group financially or emotionally.
Yeah.
Then there's guilt, and then there's threat. The threat is a threat of destruction by God for turning from the truth.
So-called truth.
Yeah, so-called truth. Mm-hmm. So you're feeling this sense of, ish, if I don't do this. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a gradual process. So these are the seven things that are here. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. Because, and I guess it all manifests itself in different ways and in different forms. And so that's what I'd like to ask you next. To say that, so at what stage did you then realize that? Or did you actually come to the realization that there was something wrong? Or what happened that led you to then...
To then stop going.
Stop going.
Okay, so... So in those days, I'd kind of gone on this tangent of burn all the music and what, and I would kind of push that agenda at home. So my mom was still attending the original church we were going to, and she was just like, that's absolute rubbish. And I'd be like, at first I thought it means I have to push harder on this side, because obviously the demonic forces don't want my family to be saved, so I have to do more on this side. And that's why, of course, they'd answer you, because when you would confide in the people there, that's what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, obviously you have to be careful because mshonga and blah 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 blah. Oh, and so the point where it broke down was where we were having this conversation with my mom and my sister, and I remember my mom saying point blank, we're worried about your sanity.
You.
And when somebody says that to you, that's like a brick wall. Like for me, I've always been a person who's kind of bold and kind of ballsy, so I do things that are a little over the edge sometimes, even with my look and the way I think and all that. But I have checkpoints. So the moment my mom is like, we are worried about your sanity, I'm like, whoa. When they use the word sanity in there, that's completely, like, that's what? Not like, we're not worried about you. When they're not like, hi, you're too zealous, you know, not zeal, sanity.
Yeah.
So at that point, the story completely changed. And I gradually started pulling away, because at this point,
from
the church, from the church. Yeah. I pulled out from church and just stopped going to church entirely for a while before I went back to the original church we were going to. I just pulled the brakes. I was like, I'm done. I just can't right now. I could not talk to the people there. I just stayed kind of in my home zone, kind of just, it's better in the end of church quadro than for me to go and have people worried about my sanity. And it cost me a relationship with my best friend.
That girl, yeah.
Because she had some guests to her wedding ceremony that were from that church, and I didn't attend because I didn't want to meet those people.
Whoa.
And so it was like,
okay, that's intense.
Yeah, I just was like, I can't. Yeah. And ever since then, I've seen the lead pastor every now and again. Well, the apostle, as he liked to call himself. I've seen him, and I wonder, I'm like, did you guys know what was going on? And by the way, there are deeper details to this story that I'm not yet comfortable to share. Yeah. But things got very weird in that place, okay. Especially when we were away from home. Mm-hmm. Like, as in things would happen, you'd see, like, funny things on our veranda at home, and we'd wonder, okay, what the hell is this?
Okay.
Like, and we don't know if it was an actual happening or it was engineered now by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Kuti, now you're in the kind of the you're sucked in, and then now people are playing tricks on you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then you'd see things, and then these same things are discussed the next time you have your deliverance session, in quotes.
Yeah.
Because then these are the people who believe in that deliverance.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah, so some of it could have been orchestrated.
Yeah. So now you don't know if the stuff is orchestrated or there was actually some spiritual stuff going on.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I was miserable those days. I would live literally days and days in depression. I couldn't ride a taxi to town. I felt like I had to be in prayer continuously on every taxi ride to
this
town.
This is during...
This was during the
time when you're attending
Just sharing some aftershock
stuff
was in that moment. So in case maybe somebody is thinking, well, they haven't really crossed the line, but you're asking yourself why you need to pray, like literally pray, and you can't sleep. You have to wake up and you
sorry,
can't,
so tell me something.
You know.
So you're attending church every day.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're involved in this church in many different ways.
Yeah.
And you still felt all these things you're feeling. Because I guess I'd be thinking, if you're that involved in a church,
it should be working,
you know,
right?
You're having all these amazing encounters with people and with God.
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't your life be like amazing, and you know, you're feeling
sweet.
You're just exactly eating sweets. So isn't it interesting that the effect was actually the opposite?
And now that you've mentioned it, I've just recalled the fruit of the Spirit. Understand, like, you need to know what it is to have a relationship with God and understand what these things are, because Pagriwa, fruit of the Spirit, depression is not one of them.
Right.
Guilt is not one of them. Penitence and consistent feeling of this weight on your shoulder, like you have something to do.
Yeah.
That's not it at all. You're like completely losing it if that's the plot.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever gone somewhere and they say the premise of your life being better lies entirely on you, you need to leave fast because there's something very wrong there.
Yeah.
The moment everything is on you, there's something very wrong there. I mean, I've even had this guy tell me, oh yeah, you know, your angels, they walk with you, and when you pray, you activate them. So when you're not praying, you're not activating your angels. Now when I think about that, I'm like, that's absolute nonsense. Where is that written? Like, well, what? And because you're in this environment where all this craziness is going around, this is how it's like a breakdown of reason.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you've been there for a year, that sounds logical to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like,
it's so true. I was actually
nonsense.
Watching this. It's called the Aftermath of Scientology or something.
Yeah.
And
if that's another deep item.
They were talking, sort of like what you're saying, like how everything, it comes back to you, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
You brought it upon yourself.
Yeah.
So they were saying, this one girl was talking about how she was molested by a member of the church. So then, or a leader, shall I say, in the church. And when she then talked to someone about it, they were like, well, what did you do to bring it to yourself? And she was,
whoa.
Dude, I was a kid. Like, what do you mean by that?
Like,
because they in their belief system, they groom you to think that there's nothing that happens to you that you didn't cause.
Mm.
Whether it's good or bad, there's something you did.
Guys.
Maybe you have some unconfessed sin that or something like that that made it happen to you. And like, if the people in your church believe that sort of thing, then anyone can do anything to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll never talk about it because you're like, well, it was me.
And I think
if someone rapes you, if someone beats you, if someone steals your money, you'd be like, it was me. I don't know.
I did something wrong. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've got to be very careful, especially in our churches, when we start adopting some of this Eastern mysticism, which is really predicated on like New Age stuff, right? Because a lot of that stuff it pushes a lot of that whole belief system, Yahudi. It's all based on you. You have to do something.
You and this other one.
Yes.
The universe.
The universe.
You and the universe.
So have this whole it's so important. Even I know, you know, there was a period in time where churches started adopting things like the secret, and because you know, we're all about, because you know, some of that stuff does have
elements of truth, because these are all counterfeits of the actual truth.
So now, you know, we start having these things getting merged with some, you know, with some biblical truth, and then it all just becomes a whole messy mesh.
You see,
so I think we've got to be careful about things like that, because scripture has to be the thing that guides us. And I like what you said about the fruit of the Spirit, to say if you start to notice that the things that are mentioned in the Bible as the fruit that you're supposed to see are absent, and you're doing all the things that you're asked to do, then you've got to question yourself there to say, what's actually, is God actually a part of this, or am I now just following something?
You know what I want to add? I think there's a difference between positivity and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that positivity drives this whole self-help thing.
Yeah.
Think positive. Right? You understand the words.
Yeah.
But like, think positive. And it's almost this unrealistic approach to life, because you are not living life for positivity. There are things that are going to affect you. Things are going to go horribly wrong. The moment you wake up, things can accidentally go wrong. Yeah. And if you are holding on to this ridiculous, positive thing, it's like you're covering and painting things. And so you have this fake positive relationship with God, which is superficial.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't just expect you to come with a big smile on your face and that's it, and you never show
Psalms.
Any
fruit.
You'll never experience this, or this must never, or that must never, and it's an unsustainable system.
I wanted to ask you, in terms of when you were at that church, was the teaching you're receiving more from the pulpit? Like, were you encouraged to read the word for yourself? Or it was kind of like you were at church so often, you're just like, well, I'm going to get the word there. So is there really a need for me to read it at home?
Ironically, that's the one time in my Christian walk I actually cracked my Bible open.
Really?
Yes. More so than even. I think to some degree I have some levels of trauma. So it's affected even the way that I would serve and things like that. So I kind of tend to shy away from serving now, because I'm like, I'm healing. I know the importance, but I'm healing from this. That, because it felt like I brought my heart as it was. And then some people were just like, whoa, let us show you what, you know. So you go there with your precious heart, and then you take it to the wrong people, and these wolves will tear it apart. And then the sad thing is that it separates you from God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, ideally, people are meant to orchestrate leading you to God. But when you find that you're not able even to talk to God, you got to know there's pressure there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I've deviated. What was your
reading your Bible?
Right. So so I knew I would quote scripture because I knew where it was, but I think the driving ideology behind it was wrong. So you're not reading the scripture to understand it. You are quoting the scripture because someone else has quoted it, and you're quoting it in the very same context they did.
Okay.
So you don't have your own interpretation. So Psalm 23, if somebody wanted to bend it in another way, they'd teach it the way they want to bend it. And if you are not someone who is diligent in seeking God or understanding what the word of God means, you will simply just take that, copy it, and paste it on your wall. I saw a post on Facebook where somebody had played around with the words of a scripture and posted it on their page, and even put the scripture on there,
right,
from the Bible. And people said amen. And people shared that thing with wrong scripture on it.
Yeah.
It actually was saying something contradictory to what the word says.
Mm.
And people had liked it. Some people had shared. And they're like, amen, you know, you're really... And you're saying, listen, why are we so ignorant when it comes to the things of God?
Yeah.
Because His word is clear. And if you connect with Him, you know your shepherd, you know His voice.
Yeah.
So no one will ever come... As a wolf to you, the sheep, because you know what your shepherd sounds like. The problem is we don't know what our shepherd sounds like, and we are willing to trust somebody else with his words.
Wow.
Well, so I think, you know, what I want to, I guess, as we draw to a close.
Yeah.
What I would just want you to share with us,
mm-hmm.
is maybe some key lessons that you got from that whole experience. I like the fact that you said you're still healing from all of that.
Yeah.
And thank you for being so open. But what are some key things that you would wanna maybe share with, you know, with the audience, with our listeners, just, you know, some things that they can apply in their lives and things that they can look out for as well.
Okay. The first thing that comes to mind is, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, give unto God what belongs to God. So to put that in context, there are specific things that God requires us to do, that we can do, right, mm-hmm. to honor God. And we must know those things for ourselves. Don't let anyone else tell you what you need to do to honor God, because these same people will come and tell you it's Papa's birthday and your own parents at home haven't had you celebrate their birthday, but you take your last $10 to go and celebrate that person,
yeah.
who has nothing to do with your upbringing, by the way. Weguti, maybe in the morning, but you'd still rather take your last $10 and take it to them. The principles in the Bible are very clear.
Yeah.
You need to honor your parents. So it's the only commandment that has a double barrel, where it's you do that and your days on the earth will be long.
Right.
Now tell me what benefit you'll get from taking your last $10 to go and give to somebody who is someone else's papa, who's going to get another present from their child and then another present from you, whereas you could still show the same amount of goodness to your own parents.
That's
so my point there is, charity begins at home.
Yeah.
You start at home. And if they're not teaching you to do that, you need to ask questions.
Mm.
Because anyone who wants to elevate themselves above your parents, that's a wrong person. That's they're already they've already gone left,
yeah.
with that. The second thing is, there's a lot that's been said about having a relationship with God. But I think the real truth is you're never going to know what it is to relate to God until you do it.
Right.
Take your time. Get to know your God. As in, He's one. But I mean, get to know Him, Iwewe. So that Sharon doesn't come with some enthusiastic day and tell you, oh yeah, but God is totally okay with this. And you know, because that's why He sent Jesus. Because like, you know, He's totally, like, we can totally just bend the rules like this. You'll fall for it.
Yeah.
And you'd never know what the difference was, because you don't even know who they're talking about. He's like Beyonce or something. Have you ever had that experience where you meet that person you really admire, and then you realize they're actually just a jerk?
Yeah.
Like you'd really idolize them and you thought, oh, you know, Beyonce, if I ever meet her, I'm gonna... I'm not saying this is how she is,
okay,
but I'm just giving...
I was just wondering.
I'm just giving an example
of bait.
Somebody that you put on a pedestal, and then you finally meet them and they don't live up to your expectation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So to some degree, because a lot of people have said so much about them, you kind of take the general consensus,
mm-hmm.
and yet the mass is not always correct. Sometimes just because something has so many people following, just because it's popular culture, doesn't make it legit.
Yeah.
So this leads back to the point where I'm saying there's a difference between positivity, there's a difference between Christianity.
Mm.
So if you want to live a positive mindset, it's going to put a lot of work on you to control your thoughts to be positive. But if you live a Christian mindset, joy is better than positivity. Joy is what gives you hope when you've had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is what tells you it comes from God. Like you cannot have joy without God.
Yeah.
You can't manufacture it in the morning. And sadly, I think a lot of us are calling ourselves Christians, but we're trying to manufacture joy in our own way. And this is why it's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Because you can't put your own ideals there and God there and expect that you can't serve two masters. So you're either going to decide to self-help and carry this weight on your own, or you're going to choose God Let him carry that for you. Mm. Otherwise, there's no middle ground. There's no, sometimes I listen to the word, sometimes I read my own books on this. Be careful.
Yeah.
Because the word has everything you need. His grace is sufficient. That's what that means.
Yeah. And I think we do need to be careful about this whole self-help gospel that is out there, because... Mm. You know, we can become so dependent on all this other material, mm-hmm. and, you know, just totally feel like we don't need God. We don't need the word of God, because, you know, I can do it by myself. Mm-hmm. Even though we're not saying you shouldn't read books, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Reading is obviously a very, very critical part of our development as people, but we mm-hmm. just need to be careful. Anyway, one last thing.
Yeah.
And then we wrap it up.
Cool.
Yeah. One other thing.
So one last thing is, don't be afraid to ask God where you are, because he will tell you where you are. If you feel like, okay, I'm not entirely sure, but nothing stops you from going directly to God. There was recently a series that was done about called Inboxing God.
Yes, yeah.
And that really touched me, because I wish I had known that at the time I was going through that, because I put God over there.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I can do what these guys are saying, because they talk to him, maybe he'll accept my friend request on Facebook. And this is the continuous thing. Let's stop this barriers thing. There's no middleman when it comes to God.
Yeah.
Except Jesus.
Yeah.
So, gotta know that. So... if you're feeling like you're completely lost, go directly to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even no matter where you are, no matter what's happened to you, don't take my word for it. Go to God directly, and then come back and tell me. You'll tell me something different.
That's really good.
That is really good.
Thank you, Shazzle Dazzle.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for trusting us with your testimony. In the making. I'm sure there's so much more we're going to see from you. So thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
Thank you
very and much. I think, you know, just, I guess adding to what you've already said, we're obviously not wanting to bash any church or any particular movement, but I think, you know, as a believer, it's very important. The onus is on you as a believer to search the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul talks about the Bereans in Acts chapter, I think it's chapter 17, if I'm not mistaken, where he says the Bereans were of more noble character, mm-hmm. you know, because they searched the scriptures for themselves. So I think it's important that we begin to develop that. And I think if you're in a church that is not encouraging you to seek God for yourself, to search the scriptures for yourself, where you feel like you have to do what the church says, mm-hmm. and the church creates this extra layer that you have to go through before you eventually reach God, then I think, you know, you need to start asking some questions there, yeah. because ultimately I think, you know, as a believer, you are responsible for your decisions.
Yes.
Where eternity is concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
don't leave that in someone else's hands, who's also working out their salvation.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would add to that. Just to say, we need to be diligent. We need to think through some of these things and really, you know, take our faith in God seriously. Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening, and we will be back next week with more. This is Radiant Culture signing out.
Out.
Bye. Peace.
Shalom.
Come on, really?
Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode, and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.